Can we do all 80s this morning?
Bumper music?
All 80s bumper music.
Let's
David,
not.
That's my... I don't know if you've picked it already, but that's my... You've already picked it. I because you plan what you do, but... Oh, well. I like how we're starting.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, along with Ray Graff, better known as... What is it?
Oh, it's my new
Batman.
Batman.
Yeah, it's a little picture of Batman with but Maine. It's Batman. I like it. And of course, the editor of the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, joins us this morning. Hello, Judy.
Good morning, Joe.
A delight to have you here. And WAMC's Alan Chartock joins us as well. Good morning, Alan. Hello, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Yo,
there he is. All right. Now, always a maybe a minute or two late, but that's all right. Good morning, Alan.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
Good morning.
Well,
good morning to you, Joe and Judy and Uncle Grumpy.
Hello.
All right. It's good to have you here. Let's start talking about some of the topics for today. And, of course, we'll begin with the issue that we really have been talking about all week long, and that is Syria. The latest news, I think, which is well, we'll talk about this in several different ways. But first is that the vote in Britain says that they will not be with us in this. France will be. And then we'll move the conversation on to how this red line, as the president called it earlier in the week, became so blurred so quickly. And so let us begin with the overall talk, and I think it was Wednesday, where we started to discuss allies and the importance of allies. And Alan, you were basically saying, we'll do what we want to do, and I guess now we pretty much have to do that, right?
Well, you know, I have not been in favor of this, but I've often said, Joe, you know, it's what you don't know that is so important. And what we don't know is that Boehner and the others insisted on being briefed. So the president goes and he briefs them. Now, I haven't seen everything this morning, but I don't think they're yelling anymore that we shouldn't do this. But on the other hand, the House of Commons says, no, we don't want you to do it, only by 13 votes, but a sort of a bipartisan coalition over there. The British people are polling, we don't want you to do this. The American people don't want him to do this. So I think this is a very dangerous thing, because I think the moment he does it, he is helping the rebels. And amongst the rebels are some very bad people.
And if you don't do it, you're also in trouble, right?
I suppose so, because then the McCains and the other guys like that are going to yell, you know, he's not capable of it. He's a coward. He's not forceful enough, and they get you. But that's why the guy's got gray hair. And in fact, my column in the Berkshire Eagle tomorrow starts with the last thing I'd like to do is be president of the United States right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Judy, when you look at this, you've been covering protests that have been taking place in regards to this, which is, I guess, not we certainly in other conflicts in our recent history that has certainly been the case. But what do we find the tenor to be?
So we have a story in today's paper about a Schenectady High School student who's organized a protest tomorrow in Collins Park in Scotia. It is a protest that will argue against any military intervention in Syria and for peace in general. But this is the first one we've seen specifically about Syria, and it's by this young person, and she's gathering interest for on Facebook, as people are wont to do these days.
Good for her.
You know, the headline of the Times piece speaks volumes. Aim of U.S. attack, restore a red line that became blurred. And okay. I can't escape the sort of analogy to a parent, say, of five children. And if that parent says, I'm going to ground you if you sock your sister, and then you don't, then the children quickly learn that, in fact, they're going to get away with whatever they want. So the corner, and I think the political damage that Alan alluded to that looms is, if he doesn't do anything, then it makes him look, well, he'll just say anything. That red line meant nothing. And so he's painted himself into a corner with that one phrase from, what, a year ago.
And it goes back, of course, and it's reminiscent of the first Gulf War and George Bush Sr. of a line in the sand. And,
right.
And of course, going back even further to the Bugs Bunny cartoons where he said, don't cross this
That's
line.
Right.
Okay,
well,
line. I meant this line. this line.
I want to ask you a question, Raymond.
Yes.
You are the parent of five children.
Yes.
And if you say to one of your children, don't do this, you are acting within your authority as parent.
Right.
The question here is, what is the authority that Obama has? I mean, it's another country. It's in another place. It's being supported by major powers, not only in outside the Arab world, but in the Arab world, the Russians,
okay.
Everybody else. So who gives him? That's the issue.
Okay,
and
well,
I think it's the intellectual issue.
It is. And it's either a true or a fictional or a mythological moral power and a moral authority that says if you use weapons of mass destruction in this way on your people, then we have an obligation to act. Most every country has that sort of moral obligation or at least stated obligation. Most of them end up backing down, as we saw yesterday. The question is now what the president will do. Now, had he not said that red line, then he could say, well, you know, this is terrible. It's an internal matter. Let's see how it plays out. But now there are political consequences here at home if he doesn't do something. And I think that's what he—and not for him, but for the Democrats.
Well, I think you're right. The problem is that we have to play on an equal field. So let's say the Russians go in somewhere we don't want them to go in and say, we think this is happening, and therefore this is our power and our obligation as a citizen of the world to do this. Would we take it?
I mean, you know, it would be a better place if I was in charge, but I'm not in charge, so I'm not going to answer that.
So would WAMC, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing here is I still think we need more information. I think the public needs more information. After the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, I think people still are not convinced what happened in Syria and who's to blame. I think it wouldn't hurt to get more of that information out.
Why is that information? No, go ahead.
A brilliant point, Judy. A brilliant point, because we see it. We see that he went to Boehner. He told, as I said before, he told Boehner something, and now we're not hearing Boehner yelling. What's that about?
Well, it's early
in other words,
in the day.
What information? What information? Yeah, well, it's true, but what information do we, the people in a democracy, who have to act based on information, to what degree are we being limited?
You know, when I grew up and learned about government, we always learned that the Congress had to approve any declaration of war. But we've gotten so used to it in the last 20 years of war-like things happening.
That aren't war.
That aren't really war.
It's like Clinton defining, sex.
Right.
It all depends on how you define it.
So that system really isn't in place anymore. But
let's get it right.
It's is.
Yeah, it depends on what your definition of is.
Right. Alan, over to you.
I find it interesting that
yes. Yes. About that sex thing.
Yes.
I find it interesting that the administration in the last few days, because they were still doing a fairly hard line as of Wednesday, and now much of the talk and coming out of the administration has, while what has been playing out in Britain and in France is that talking about how diplomatic approaches have not worked. The Secretary of State John Kerry has pursued a diplomatic strategy. He's been emphasizing the need to pressure Assad to change his calculation about his ability to hang on to power. His goal has been to facilitate a political settlement in which a transitional government would assume full executive powers. They talk about the trip that Kerry made in May to Moscow, where he met with Putin and announced that there would be a peace conference in Geneva aimed at brokering such a transition and bringing an end to the conflict. So they're talking a lot about the efforts that went into this because people were talking about diplomacy, 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 and the administration is now trying to highlight as much as possible about the diplomacy that has taken place. in the past.
Well, you know, the question is, what are the lines here? I mean, I have no doubt that we have been burning up the phone with the Russians, but when we say okay, we'll do it towards an end, towards getting Assad out of there. They don't want Assad out of there. If we are on the red line or whatever you call it with the Russians and saying to them, you know, let's make this work by making sure that that Assad promises never to use chemical weapons again and admits people who can observers. That, I think, is probably what's going on now between the Russians, the Chinese, and the United States.
One of the things that in this article that Ray mentioned in the New York Times about restoring a red line that became blurred, they talk about this time of diplomacy in earlier this year where the United States was training a small number of Syrian rebels and trying to coordinate with Arab nations, which were arming the opposition. In June, after the White House determined that the Syrian government had crossed a red line by carrying out a series of low-level chemical weapons attacks, the Obama administration stepped up indirect military involvement by deciding to covertly arm the rebels. But as late as last week, the New York Times reports, rebel officials said that those arms had yet to arrive. Iran has trumped the American support by flying arms to Damascus through Iraqi airspace and encouraging Hezbollah, the Lebanese militia, to join the war on the side of the Assad government. So, you know, while the diplomacy was in work, it seems as though a lot of the follow through, as someone I remember once saying, execution is everything.
Who said that? What genius said that?
Well, you know, the problem is he's really stuck. I mean, the other day he said something that was extraordinary, the president. By the way, let me make clear my own personal position, certainly not that of a station or anything else, is that I love Obama. I think he's terrific, and I think he's worked hard. But I think he's got himself into a bad spot here, as Ray says, but also because there are some very, very bad people on the other side. So the minute,
you mean the rebels?
That's right. That's right. And so, therefore, if we start sending them guns and they start using those guns and those rockets and everything else, bringing down our airplanes and everything else, eventually, as we saw happen in Afghanistan and endangering emboldening the rebels to the point where, and some of the bad guys, it's a no-win situation. That's why they're not sending them. He's in a tough spot. But he said, you know, what we want to do is to get the good guys on that side and to the Democrats, the liberal Democrats, and make sure they're okay and help them. Well, good luck, Charlie. I got a bridge to sell you.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back and finish up this conversation before we move on to other issues and take NPR News and find out what is happening, the latest happening this morning in Washington and, of course, in Syria. We'll be back right after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from HMT at the Spa Little Theater, announcing their 29th season beginning October 11th with the musical comedy The Drowsy Chaperone in the Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org, Mildred's Meadows, Duanesburg, New York, locally grown organic produce, grass-fed beef and dairy products, locally made foods from over 50 farmers and producers, mildredsmeadows.com, Menla Center for Health and Happiness and Mahasuka Spa, Phoenicia, presenting educational retreats for mind and body, such as The Art of Happiness with Howard Cutler, September 20th through 22nd, menlamountain.org, and Spot Coffee, Saratoga Springs, New York, a community-oriented cafe featuring fresh roasted coffee, baked goods, soup, salads, pizza, and more, spotcoffee.com.
'80s crap.
What
does that
Give
mean?
Me a break.
It's got a great beat.
Yes, this is the music of our time.
It's not the music of my time, son.
What? What is our age difference? 4 years?
Yeah, but so what? I'm an older soul.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't listen to that.
No.
And what is our age difference, son? I mean, after Pete, what was there? Nothing. The Weavers. Nothing after the Weavers.
I see his point. In other words, Alan thinks the culture stopped after the Weavers.
That's right.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Understood.
So, got it.
Yeah.
And Joan and, you know, and,
sure.
and Dylan.
Yeah.
And like that. But this stuff, you're right.
All right. You and I agree on something then. That's good.
On something, yes.
So I'm not inviting either one of you to the 80s dance party. I'm gonna have.
I'll be there. You know, it's as we wrap up, and we do have to go to a break in just about a minute, but I do want to talk real quick, Alan, your thoughts about France, and I guess that's really not too much of a surprise.
Well, fill me in.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you got the memo.
You thought
I apologize.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you had read what I sent you. Hold on. Here's the deal. In the 12 seconds that we have left.
Why don't we just go to break?
We'll do it. I'll let you look it up. I'll look it up, and we'll be back after this short break. Stevie Nicks and the Weavers. welcome back to the roundtable panel on this Friday morning. We welcome your comments as always. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. So, for those of you that were interested, the president of France on this morning offered strong support for international military action against the Syrian government, supporting the Obama administration just the day after the British Parliament rejected Prime Minister David Cameron's call for intervention. A chemical attack in the Damascus suburbs on August 21st, attributed by Western powers to Syrian government forces, must not go unpunished, said the French president to the president of the United States. So right before break, I was asking you, Alan, of what you make of the support of France and what ultimately that means. Especially without the support of Britain.
Yeah, I don't know what's in this Hollande's mind on this. I think everybody has political reasons for doing what they're doing. You know, there is, to me, no question that this is good for him. That's why he's doing it. And but I still think that whether they're with us or not, it still creates a vast problem for Obama.
When we're going to move on to other topics, but we certainly welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let us talk about a big story. We've actually been talking about various aspects of the story for some time, but this was just by, I think, the given the work that has gone into this agreement and also to the staggering amount of money, the National Football League has agreed to pay $765 million to settle a lawsuit brought by more than 4,500 players and their families, largely closing the legal front in the league's battle against accusations that it concealed what it knew about the dangers of repeated hits to the head. The settlement was announced yesterday. It will be seen as a victory for the league, which has nearly $10 billion in annual revenue and faced the possibility of billions of dollars in liability payments and a discovery phase that could have proved damaging if the case had moved forward. Ray, I guess I'm curious of whether you think, I mean,
they got off light. The NFL got a great deal here.
It seems like they did, but I do wonder if it's the end of it, if something can't come as, you know, different as far as some other type of action against the league.
Well, I would never underestimate a lawyer to find a new angle. I mean, clearly.
But it does seem, as we mentioned about the billions of dollars that could have been lost here, that yes. They got off pretty.
Given how much money the league makes, and how, I mean, $765 is not chump change, but it could have been so much more. And the real question is, you know, did the NFL know the dangers before they told the players the dangers by an order of years? And if the discovery phase had shown that, then $10 billion a year may not be enough. So they did, the NFL just, they hit a home run with this.
Michael LeRoy, who teaches labor law. Michael LeRoy, who teaches labor law at the University of Illinois, says the settlement seems low considering the number of claimants and the severity of their conditions. It also shows the uphill climb in proving the league was responsible for the players' injuries. And that goes to your point, Ray. But the number of claimants was staggering.
How many are we talking? 4,000?
4,500, I believe.
And some would have been weeded out. I mean, there are kickers, you know.
There's something else here, I think. And that is now. Football is the number one sport in America, most watched sport in America, right? Isn't that correct?
I don't know if NASCAR is.
I heard. Even baseball. Yeah, I heard that on I think NPR. Okay, so let's assume it is. Here's the Shartok solution: no more football, no more boxing. I think this is not going to be very popular. And no more lions in the in the den eating Christians or others.
Yeah, are bread because and circuses okay still?
These are no tennis. Tennis is a good sport. Watch them swimming. Swimming is good. Baseball is boring and long, and with some exceptions is pretty safe. But football, the name of the game is to basically to decapacitate each other or do something each other, and therefore I think football should be outlawed.
Well, we're all speechless here. But there is something to be said to his argument that the viewing public who so enjoys watching people ram into each other every Sunday, maybe they should also support the players' rights to have more safe play.
We do.
Yes?
In other words, when I go to a Giants game and shell out $170 or something for a seat, the owners are picking up the tab, I believe, to the tune of what, $23 million each?
Yes, for this. So.
And so, believe you me, ticket prices at MetLife Stadium where the Giants and Jets play, they're going to go up a little bit. We're going to pay for it, Judy.
And going forward, how much safer will the sport be for the guys who are playing now? Are they going to have the same kind of brain injuries?
Well, I mean, if we take the league at its word, they certainly since this has been brought to light in the years that this settlement has been worked on, there have been great strides. Ray, correct me if I'm wrong here, but within helmets and rules and different restrictions to try to limit the number of head injuries, direct hits, and much like they have done in NASCAR to ultimately make the sport safer. But yes, I think for many fans who say, well, just let them play football.
But, there have been rules now, and there are rules every year, new rules about, blows to the head and things like that. I think a lot of these rules have come down because the NFL knew we're in deep doo-doo here with this huge lawsuit. So now let's see what happens going forward. I think Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, is proving to some fans' dismay that he's willing to make major changes for the safety of the players. Will it change the game to the point where it's not popular and Allen will get his wish? Maybe.
How about two-hand touch?
Flag football, that'll work.
And the other thing is the players are participating of their own volition, so it's not like they're being forced.
Till they get hurt, Judy. Till they get hurt, and then they don't like it anymore, and then they sue them. But basically, it's a violent game. I think we're teaching our kids violence. We're seeing it happen in our high schools. We're seeing it happen in our junior high schools. Kids get hurt,
In tennis, people don't get hurt. I think in running, people get hurt.
Yeah, but that's a spurious argument. I never make spurious arguments.
No.
What do you mean, even in tennis? What? You pull a hamstring or something? What is that?
Well, you can get hit by the racket. You get hit by the ball. You can get hit. There have been certainly injuries. What?
Why is it that you people always gang up on me when I'm right?
But not when he's wrong.
No, never when he's wrong.
That's the most dangerous time to gang up on him is when he's wrong. In this instance, we can gang up on you because you're probably right.
Well, on that note, let's take a break and figure out what the hell we're going to talk about next. And we're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. We would welcome your comments. Do you think that football should be outlawed? Do you think
Alan at WAMC.org
sent to the Lions or whatever the analogy was? Roundtable at WAMC.org. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Oakwood Friends School, Poughkeepsie, New York, an independent college preparatory boarding and day school for grades 6 through 12, focusing on the individual learner, oakwoodfriends.org. New York Pain Management, Doctors Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung offering management of chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting in Clifton Park and Glens Falls, 518-371-0777. And the Francis Lehman Loeb Art Center at Vassar College, presenting Pictures of Nothing, abstract art from the permanent collection through September 8th, flac.vassar.edu.
I wanted to let it go on.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough, but apparently we didn't.
we went back to the 70s now. We're reaching back to the old Fleetwood Mac catalog there.
You feel better about that now, Ray?
Only marginally. If you can give me some Warren Zevon, Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner, I'd really be in a good mood right now.
I'm not used to you being in a good mood.
You
dirty son of a then what do we do? Was there a theme there? Is there... Yeah, okay, but it was all Fleetwood Mac, but they're not like, they played in June, right, in the area, so, oh, okay, I didn't know if there was a connection. I was just checking. Let us talk about, we were talking about football and banning it from any television screen, so I want to move away from that issue and go to something a little calmer and a little less controversial. Let's talk about fracking.
Oh.
Judy, go.
So yesterday the Court of Appeals said it will hear some of these local cases where local towns are establishing zoning regulations that would essentially prevent fracking. So the advocates of fracking want this to be heard. It's interesting because all around the state you're getting towns doing different kinds of moratoriums or zoning regs. In Schoharie County, one town passed a reg that preventing really heavy trucks from going on the roads, or if so, they'd have to fix the roads up. And that essentially is aimed at preventing the big trucks that would be used in these fracking operations from moving in. Dozens and dozens of these regulations are on the books. And so these two cases, the Court of Appeals will hear, should establish a precedent. And how long it will happen, this case will take to go through the courts is unclear at this point.
When, I mean, this whole thing seems to be dragged out beyond belief, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing.
I mean, how long has the moratorium been in place? 5 years?
Right.
Where we're waiting for the state to decide? At least 5 years.
I think it was no more, these localities doing this was no more than a very brilliant way of saying we're opposed to it. So even if they lose, they haven't really lost anything. And in fact, I think that the governor is clearly now in a spot where that Department of Health may have fallen into the Atlantic Ocean for all we know. But that is the longest study that we have ever seen. And it's very interesting because in my opinion, my personal opinion, there's no two ways about it. They can't prove it. They can't prove it safe. They cannot do that. So from where I'm sitting, the Court of Appeals may say, oh, yeah, you can't do it, or it's a state function, or you can do it, but it doesn't really matter.
You know, it raises this interesting home rule issue. Can a town control this, or can it not? What do you think?
Well, every once in a while we see it. For example, we see it in nuclear power, and the courts come back and say, no, that's a federal function, and you can't do that. I suspect, or that's a state function and you can't do it. But on the other hand, they may say, no, you know, there may be, it's a very, I believe, liberal court of appeals, top court. And I have a feeling that they may well just say, you know, vote with their hearts and say, no, you can do it.
So in your opinion, would a more liberal court of appeals then side with municipalities or the central state authority?
No, the municipalities, because the municipalities are the ones who are against it. It has become the liberal cause celeb of New York. You know, I think a lot of people are very upset with the whole fracking thing. I think appropriately so. And are going to, you know, and I think if you were of a sort of liberal persuasion, I think many people on that court are, you know, you'll side with them.
And will the state get involved in this court case? Will the attorney general want to get involved to express the state's position on whether or not they have authority here?
What is the state's position?
Well,
good question.
Nothing yet. We're waiting. But
yeah, I know. How do you defend it?
Well, you know, the AG's job, I think a lot of people don't get that part of it, but the AG, and I know all of you do, but the AG's job is to, pardon me, represent the state agencies when they have a position, as you just say. So, I mean, I remember that, you know, when Andrew Cuomo was there, he had to defend some very unpopular things that he didn't particularly believe in. But he's the state's lawyer. And every once in a while, the governor will say, I don't like what the AG is doing here, so I'm going to hire my own lawyers to do this. I think that the AG, you know, in this case, stays out of it unless somebody asks him to get into it.
We always welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. I wanted to reserve a few minutes at the end of our conversation as it's we just have about 7 minutes left or so. But it's the end of the summer, the official summer season, not the end of summer, as the calendar goes, but the end of the official summer season with Labor Day upon us. And I was just looking for any reflections of sort of the best or the worst of summer moments that you
of
may have.
Of this show? Because I don't think we have time for all the best moments. I have to do that whole separate show.
No, that's a clip reel. We're going to run that on Monday. Yeah, no, that's during the... Go ahead, Alan.
Why don't we each give one? Each of us could give one. I'll tell you what I love. The fact is, we often, at the beginning of the summer, have warm weather. Out come the buds, which are going to turn into fruit. Then along comes a cold snap. And the cold snap kills the buds, right? And then you don't get the fruit, or it's a disaster for the apple growers or others. That didn't happen this year. This year we had this wonderful, affluent group, you know, wonderful thing happening to all of us. And we got fruit and we got plums and apples. And for that, I am very grateful.
All right. We had a lot of rain.
Is there silence?
Well, we had a lot of rain at the beginning. And I know, like, that affected the corn. But it was... But maybe not as much for the fruit.
And yeah, bad for the tomatoes. I haven't had one good tomato all summer.
Yeah, the corn has been discouraging, I think. But Alan's right. You know, we still look for this this cycle, and it is it's lovely. And now you see the leaves starting to fall. And
yes.
It, I don't know. After a nice summer, it feels right.
We have a story today about
now
Yeah. Gas prices going up for the Labor Day weekend.
So, of course.
The track closing up in Saratoga's final season or final stretch this weekend. Big season up there this year.
I got to get up there for one more time because I got a ticket that I won. I won on Travers Day.
Oh,
you won big too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. But let's not talk about that for the IRS. Maybe.
Okay. All right. I won't. I won't bring it up. But I have to say, you know,
cha-ching.
Of course, all of the arts in the region, and I hope they all had a wonderful season. We've been covering all of the terrific arts groups. You want to share the best thing you saw all summer, Alan?
No, I love all my children, and I wouldn't dare do that, but I think you're right. I think, and even the ones I didn't like, I sort of liked.
Now, what do you mean, arts or children?
Yeah, no, we've seen a lot of theater this summer, and it's been wonderful. But, you know, there are groups who were, you know, I was at a dinner the other night, and a guy looked over at me and said, this group that can't kiss the feet of the other, they didn't say feet, but can't kiss the feet of the other guys. And I said, I love all my children, because I don't want to get into that. We really are the place to come for the arts. There's nothing like WAMC. And that august and intellectual repository, Metroland, said that.
That's right. Yes. And we... And we thought it was the second time we've used the term august on the show this week,
yeah.
Oddly enough.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
And it is august.
Yeah. I was thinking about the other great thing about weekends like this. I don't know about you, Judy. And I don't mean to be mean about this, but I don't know about you, because you're a few minutes late, so I don't know. But oh. I got here in like 35 minutes this morning.
Oh,
there was just like,
right.
there's nobody on the road.
Those school buses aren't out there yet.
No, it's like the best thing in the world. And I thought, well, this will end on Tuesday. This
sure.
will no longer be the case. But it was
well,
in
the Berkshires, in the Berkshires where, you know, learning is everything and intellect is everything. School buses are rolling.
Oh,
12
really?
Months a year, probably.
Yeah, 12 months a year.
No, a couple of days early.
I thought they all homeschooled That's up right. there in the Berkshires.
No. We live in a place called, there's a lot of different things. We live in a place called Steiner Hill, where everybody go, well, many of them go to the Rudolf Steiner schools. Not everybody. And a lot of people go to public schools, which I'm passionate about, as you know.
And
but,
I think they start Tuesday.
School buses are rolling.
Right? They start Tuesday.
Not in my
Up
district.
Here?
The public
no,
schools?
No, no, no.
Week from Tuesday.
Yeah, I think they already started.
No, oh, okay, because no, I was talking to some Berkshireites yesterday, and they were saying the school started
really?
Tuesday, so I don't. But I don't know. I don't know.
You, oh, know, you may be right. I may be giving out the usual bad information.
Your
yeah.
zip
and
code parents, may vary.
Yeah, the parents may be pulling their hair out like in those bad dreams and saying, oh, my God, our kid didn't go to school.
You know, from my perspective in the news business, summer is always so slow when
yeah.
it comes to hard news. I'm kind of grateful that it's coming to an end, so things will start to pick up. We've got primaries coming.
And we can, yeah.
Yeah.
And we can hear it right now. The news is slow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean,
I offer this conversation as proof.
Yes, tell me more about that cocktail party.
Well, I don't, you know, that's not, I mean, true. I mean, good Lord, you know, we're going into a possible military conflict.
Spitzer's leading in the polls in New York City by 15 points.
Whoa!
Boy, here he comes.
And the mayor's race seems to be widening as well.
Yes, that's right. It would appear that the liberal fellow is going to win this.
So, since Ray has already left the studio, let us just say,
I'm counting the seconds.
I thank you very much all for participating. Alan, you can look up the candidates, and we'll resume on Monday on Tuesday.
De Blasio,
De Blasio.
De Blasio.
There you go.
Say the secret. Wait, the duck will come down and pay you $50. De Blasio.
Judy, have a lovely holiday weekend. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it coming in. A last-minute call, and I do appreciate you.
You're very
in.
Welcome, Joe.
We love Judy.
Alan, Raymond, have a lovely holiday weekend, and we'll be back here on Tuesday.
Okay. And you too.
Yeah, all I'll right. be back here.
Yeah, okay, I mean, have a great weekend.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah. Coming up next, we will talk about some of the glory days of Notre Dame football, which Notre Dame football gets underway this weekend. So we'll talk about that with a sports writer, Jerry Barkett. It's all coming up next on the Roundtable.